My brothers and sisters, I understand a little bit about quitting, for I was playing quarterback for the Sacramento Chargers in the Freeport Manor area. And on this particular Saturday, I was playing. We was playing a team from Napa, California. They were bigger and faster than we were. During the game, we was holding our own. About the fourth quarter, they began to wear us down, and the linemen, as I played quarterback, kept on sacking me. On one particular play, I got hit from my blind side. And if anybody knows anything about football, you know that if you get hit from the blind side, you're almost, and you fall on the ball, you almost look, seems as if you have lost every breath in your body. So I fell on the ball, and it looked as if I wasn't gonna make it. I thought I was dying, literally. I was hit so hard that it felt like that linebacker knocked me in to next week. And so when I recovered and took off my helmet and my shoulder pads, I walked off the field all the while telling my coach I quit. Listen, beloved, I need you to know I never played football again. I'm not proud of that moment, but I've discovered, beloved, that it doesn't take much to cause many to quit. Listen, I know that life can hit us so hard that it will make us want to quit. The truth of the matter is, people will make you want to quit. Some folk can be so funny style. They're blessing you one minute and cussing you out the next. Problems will make you want to quit. Folk are shouting on Sunday, but they're pouting on Monday. And as long as things are going all right, beloved, however, when things get a little tough, they're ready to raise the right white flag. And so I want to draw your attention to the statement in verse 7 of our text where the psalmist declares, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast." I like the way the King James put it where it says, "My heart is fixed." It is in Psalms 108, verse 1, where the psalmist says, he says, "My heart is fixed." It is, beloved. He says, "Oh God, my heart is fixed." It is in Psalms 112, verse 7, speaking of a good man, he says that a good man's heart is fixed on God. The verb steadfast or fixed speaks of making firm, establishing, or determined. In other words, the psalmist is saying that he was not going to let what was happening in his life uproot him or cause him to quit. He wasn't going to allow his circumstances to make him want to throw in the towel. He drove down his tent stakes and he was not moving. He dropped his anchor on a certain truth and he declared that in spite of what it is I'm going through, I am not giving up. Let me just drop this on you real quick. Psalms 57 was written by David while running for his life from Saul. Same as it was on last week when we preached the other psalm that dealt with David in the cave. These are not words that are uttered when things are going favorable or where things are encouraging. The events we know are recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 24 where we read that Saul took 3,000 chosen men to seek out and to destroy David. These were words spoken when David was hiding again in a cave. I like the way Spurgeon put it when he said that this is a psalm from the bowels of the earth and like Jonah's prayer from the bottom of the sea. We know that David is at a low place. He's at a tough space. He's in a difficult situation. It is a very dark time, a very difficult time. It was discouraging and a dangerous time in the life of King David. Here's what we know, beloved, and the truth of the matter is that David says, "My heart is steadfast." In other words, he's saying, no matter what happens in my life, I'm not quitting, I'm not moving, I'm not giving up. I am determined that I'm going to make make it. Let's look at the psalm a little closer and consider the words, David's words, in light of the context. Notice, first of all, that David was saying that he would not let anything shake him. I like that because it's in the text. Watch what he says, verse 1. He says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." Listen, beloved, David describes circumstances in his life, hear me, that would shake the very foundation of any man's life and soul. We see the calamities that he describes in the text. The words storms of destruction that he uses in verse 1 speaks of events that come rushing in upon someone with destructive force. It is not just one thing. The text suggests that it is several things that is rushing in on him. It is, my brothers and sisters, it was as if life had come crashing in on him, overwhelming him. And so he cries out to God, "Oh, be merciful to me, oh God, be merciful to me." The one writer translated the words, "Show thy most tender affection to me." So dark the hour that he repeats his cry for mercy, which suggests an intense agony or urgency. In other words, David is a man who really needs God's help. And perhaps today, beloved, I may be talking to someone who may be where the psalmist was. I've discovered that fair winds do not always follow as we sail upon the seas of life. Somebody ought to say amen right there, because listen, quite often our passage is rocked by raging storms. One writer said, "Sin has turned the world from a paradise into thickets, and there is no way of getting through this world without being scratched." In other words, no one escapes troubles, no one escapes trials, no one escapes difficulties. As a matter of fact, Jesus put it this way. He says, "In this world, you shall have tribulation." Not might have, not possible, but no, you shall have tribulation. And as long as we keep following King Jesus, as long as we keep trying to live for the Lord, calamities and destruction and challenges will come our way. You ain't got to say amen right here. I already know. Like grandmama said, just keep on living if you don't get it. Listen, beloved, David's case, the calamities of life can come rushing, just like David, can come rushing in with destructive force in our life, threatening our stability, threatening to pull out every pillar upon which we stand. However, in these calamities that David described, we also see the confidence that he declares. Watch this. Verse 1, he says, "For in you my soul will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will take refuge until the storms of destruction pass by." Get this, beloved. David said, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. In the shadow of his wings, I will find refuge. I like that. He was not just hiding in a cave. He was hiding under God's wings. And David was thinking, beloved, of the wings of the cherubim that were spread over the mercy seat, because he simply asked God for mercy. And he knows that under the wings of the most merciful one, he could find real refuge. Listen, beloved, he asked God for mercy. And he asked God for mercy with confidence. He knows that his calamities will not last, and one day this too shall pass. Under, beloved, the wings of God, he would stay until the storms of destruction pass by. Get that? The word "pass" literally means the crossover or to go through. He knows that he will get through what he's going through, because it will be God who will bring him through. Can I say that again? I hope somebody gets that. In other words, the psalmist knows that he will get through what he's going through simply because it will be God who brings him through. Are you hearing me? I hope we get that as we are paused in this pandemic, as we are sheltering in place still, as there's still variations of the virus that is coming down down the pipe. Listen, beloved, we better recognize that we will get through whatever it is we're going through simply because it will be God that brings us through. That ought to shout somebody right there, simply because right now you're going through it. Right now you're dealing with it. Right now you are in the midst of a challenging situation. But you better recognize that you just don't serve any kind of God. You serve a God with all power in his hand. And whatever you're going through, you will get through simply because God will bring you through. Tap somebody, look at somebody and say, I know that's right. Listen, you know he'll bring you through because he has brought you through. You know he'll make a way simply because he has already made a way. You know that whatever it is, God has the power, the strength, the ability, and the know-how to get us through whatever it is we're going through. Are you listening to me? It reminds me of a lady who survived the sinking of the Titanic, but she lost her husband. But hear this, she was approached by a Christian lady who began to talk about the goodness of God, even in the midst of challenging situations. And the lady replied, don't talk to me about God, because for me, God went down with the Titanic. Listen, beloved, there are certain truths that if we don't settle in our heart, things that can happen in our life that can literally shake us and cause us to be skeptical of God's love, question God's wisdom, and doubt God's promises, we would believe that all is lost, sunken to the bottom of the sea the moment we hit the iceberg of troubles. But David said, I'm not going to do that. He says, my heart is going to be steadfast. My heart is going to be fixed on God. He did not let the things that he was going through shake his faith in God, nor shake his faith in the promises of Almighty God. And listen, beloved, here's what we got to know, that when things are dark, listen, we've got to trust God. When the strong winds of adversity blow with destructive force, we need to learn how to hide beneath the wings of God's tender mercy. Tender mercy, his mercy. Mercy is simply that he does not give us what we deserve, and we need to learn how to hide under his tender mercies, knowing that God will bring us through. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that if you let me. Listen, beloved, the psalmist suggests, I'm determined to make it, and in my determination, I will not let anything shake me. But he also says, I'm not going to let anything stop me. I like that because, listen, it has been said that you can learn much about a person by what it takes to stop them. Listen, David would not let the things happen to him shake him nor stop him. His heart was steadfast. His heart was fixed. He would not give in or give up. And as we look closer at Psalms 57, we'll see in the text the people that hated him. Listen, David had some haters. Is that all right to say? He says in verse 4, as he describes them, watch this, my soul is in the midst of lions. He says, I lie down amidst fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth and spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Listen, David is describing his haters. Hear me good, beloved. Saul and his men were like lions set on his destruction. Their soul was burning to see him destroyed. A fiery hatred burned within their heart. The taste of his blood was in their teeth, and their tongue spit out the venomous animosity, loathing, and disgust for David. Listen, he says in verse 6, they set a net for my steps, and my soul was bowed down. They dug a pit for my way. In other words, David says, a net had been spread and a pit dug for my entrapment and capture. He says that his soul had been bowed down. He felt that he was in a trap and there appeared to be no way of escape. Get this, beloved, both his adversary and his adversity were enough to make David want to quit. It would have made me want to quit. It would have made me want to throw in the towel. It would have made me want to walk off the field, take my helmet off. I wish somebody would help me and never play football again. And listen, beloved, how easy easy would it have been, listen, if it would have been for him, for David to feel like he was helpless and all was hopeless. Can I ask you this, beloved? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place in your life where there seemed to be no reason to keep going? Listen, here's what I've discovered, that life can, and I don't care what somebody tells you, life can beat you down to where we have no heart to really keep pushing forward. And if you don't believe me, just keep on living, because the truth of the matter is there's some stuff that can come down the pipe. There's some stuff that will roll our way. There's some situations in our life that are beyond our scope, our ability, and what we believe we're able to handle. Are you listening to me? There's some things that may happen in our life that we're just not ready for, that we're not ready to grab a hold of. And those things in our life that come our way can literally make us want to throw in the towel and to act as if we don't want to push forward. The adversity and the adversaries of life can bring us to the place to where we're ready to give up and to give in. I know I got some witnesses in here, because the truth of the matter is a whole lot of us are in this place today simply because are listening to me on social media and internet, simply because you've been at that place before. You were there in your life, and you know that it was nobody but the Lord that brought you through. The only reason you are here is because God used that situation. I wish somebody would help me to get you to where you are right now. Listen, David says it like this: I ain't gonna do that. He says, I'm not gonna let what I'm going through right now, I'm not gonna let these haters that are on my trail cause me to give in and give up. Listen, beloved, you better realize there are some haters out there. Help me hear somebody. There's haters on our job and haters in our societies. There's haters in our neighborhood. There's individuals that want to bring us down and cause us to quit. They want us to give up. They want us to throw in the towel. And let me just say this to my young children, my youth today. Listen, the adversities of what we're going through in our society, you better recognize, listen, this ain't the first time we've been here, and this ain't the last time. Yeah, we marched before and you marching now. We protest before and we protest now. But you better recognize the same God that brought us through that is going to be the same God that bring us through this. Are you listening to me? I just shouted some of y'all and you missed your shout. Listen, you ought to give God some glory and praise, because he is the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. And if he brought us through before, hallelujah to the Lamb, he can bring us through again. Preach, Reese. I'm trying to do that. Listen, David said, I ain't gonna let it stop me. I ain't gonna let anything block me. He says, even though there's people that hated me, but watch what he says. He says, I'm not gonna let anybody stop me. Not only because of the people that hated him, but watch the purpose that held him. It's in the text, verse number 2. Watch what he says. He says, I cried out to God Most High. Verse 2 says, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. That verb there, fulfill, in the Hebrew means to perfect. It means to bring to completion. It's the ideal of the same words of the psalmist in Psalms 138, verse 8, where he says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. In other words, the Lord will work out his plan for my life. The Lord, in other words, will work out, no matter what I'm going through, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. I like the way Charles Spurgeon put it when he said, the Lord has undertaken for us, and he will not draw back. He will go through with his covenant engagements. In other words, the God that we serve has a purpose and a plan for our life, and he will see that his purpose will be completed. I hope somebody gets that. No doubt beloved, that David didn't understand what he was going, all that he was going through and all the stuff that was happening in his life. Yet he knew that with God, there were no accidents, but only appointments. David knew that if God was for him, it was more than the world against him. Are you listening to me? And the truth of the matter is, we can look at everything that happens in our life, every single solitary thing that happens in our life, and we can say, just like the psalmist, God will fulfill his purpose for me. Listen, in other words, beloved, that's what we got to know when we come up against a cave situation or circumstance. We got to know that God will bring the past and fulfill his purpose for my life. Listen, if it's not according to God's plan, listen, we would not be going through what we're going through. Why? Because nothing happens in our life that has not been filtered through God's love, and nothing happens outside of God's will. Listen, outside of God's divine purpose, he's allowed whatever it is we're going through to happen. It implies that God fulfills all of his purposes. And listen, beloved, another translation says that God will fulfill all of his purposes for me. In other words, they're like carte blanche. It is a blank check already signed by God that we can be assured, hear me, that the Lord will finish anything and everything that he begins in our life. It is echoed by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where the Apostle Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So let me repeat again, beloved. If you didn't hear me the first time, let me say it again. The Lord will finish anything and everything that he has begun in our life. The good, yes. The bad, yes. The ugly, yes. Are all tools in God's hand to bring all of his purposes to pass in our life. There are no accidents, only appointments, beloved. So can I ask you this? Listen, are the winds of adversity whipping us right now? Are we at the point of where we want to give up or throw in the towel or where we want to walk away? Listen, here's what I suggest. Drop your anchor right now and pitch your tent on the blessed promises that God is in control. I wish I could preach it like I feel it. Listen, can I say it again? Listen, we ought to drop our anchor and pitch our tent right now on the mere fact that God is in control and he performs all things for our good and for his glory. You mean whatever I'm going through? Yes, whatever I'm going through, God will perform it for our good and for his glory. That whatever it is, that God would get the glory out of it. Watch what he says in verse 3. He says, he will send from heaven and save me, and he will put to shame him who tramples me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. In other words, God will send what I need, when I need it, and how I need it. In other words, beloved, it was enough to know that he served a God with all power, but not only was he serving that God, he says, God will send out his steadfast love. He'll send what I need, he'll send it when I need it, and somebody needs to know he's gonna send it how we need it. Are you listening to me? When everything was enough to make David want to quit, he said, my heart is steadfast. He would not let the things that happened to him stop him. He was going to keep on keeping on. He was going to keep on serving God, and he was going to keep on living for God, and he was going to keep on loving God. David says in verse 5, watch this, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. Listen, here's what David is saying. David says that whatever I'm going through, as long long as you get the glory. Are you listening to me? He says, as long as you get the glory, God, that's all that matters. That's the sum up, verse 5 there. He says, God, that whatever it is, how difficult it is, how challenging it is, as long as it brings glory to your name, as long as it lifts you up on high, he says, that's all that really matters to me. Can I say this to someone? I know you're sick right now, but to God be the glory, because even in your sickness, God can use that sickness to bring somebody else to Christ. I know you're going through, but the Lord, listen, but the Lord, if he gets the glory, he'll get the glory through what you're going through. I know it's difficult for you. I know it's challenging for you, but we ought to shout like David and say, as long as you get the glory, God, that's all that matters. We ought to be like Fat Joe and Remy Ma, I'm all the way up. Nothing can stop me. I think that's what the psalmist is saying. Trouble can't stop me. Listen, beloved, sickness can't stop me. Sorrow can't stop me. The pandemic and social unrest can't stop me. As long as God gets the glory. Listen, beloved, this is David locked up in the cave. And he says, Lord, I'll be in this cave as long as it brings glory to you. I'll endure this calamity, challenge, and tribulation as long as through this situation it'll bring glory to your name. Can I just shout you real quick? Listen, the truth of the matter is what you're going through really ain't for you. It might be for somebody else. Somebody who's watching you. Somebody who's looking at you. Somebody who's seeing how you handle that sickness or trouble or challenge in your life. Because listen, when you start giving God glory and showing God, giving God praise, it is through all of that that God gets the glory out of your situation. I wish I could shout some of y'all right now, because God has been so good that he allows me to go through what I go through, not just for me, but that others may see me and see me shouting and giving God praise, and they will give God glory by what I'm going through. Listen, beloved, don't get mad at what you're going through. Don't get upset. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it shake you. But listen, beloved, can I give you one more thing? Don't let it silence you. It's in the text. I don't want to make this up. Verse 7, he says, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. Watch what he said. I will sing and make melody. That sounds like I ain't gonna let nobody silence me from what I'm going through. Watch verse 9. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. Watch what he says. I will sing praises to you among the nations. David's heart was steadfast. He was not going to let what was happening to him keep him from giving God glory and praise. His circumstances were not going to silence him. It reminds me of missionary Dan Crawford of Africa. In his journal, he tells of how a wave of homesickness swept over him as he became swallowed up in the jungles of Africa. Then it grew fearfully dark for him, because he felt it would be a long time before he was able to see the dear shores of his homeland. He thought of the obstacles ahead, and perhaps his adventures was unwise, he thought to himself. He said it was then where he lost his song, and days passed, listen, and they became increasingly gloom for him. And Crawford said he couldn't sing, he couldn't give God praise, until one morning when he read Psalms 108 verse 1 that says, oh God, my heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise. Listen, beloved, that day he began to sing praises to the Lord and praise God until the jungle was transformed into a heavenly place and the darkness sped away. I told you that because, listen, beloved, no matter how dark it gets in our life, no matter how difficult the circumstances may be, we should do our best to praise the Lord. No matter where we are, no matter what we're going going through, praise still ought to be the order of the day. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Listen, beloved, David reminds us, listen, that he says, my praise is not conditional. That will help us not let anything silence us. He says, my praise is not conditional. Watch this. My praise was not conditional on favorable or pleasant circumstances. As we have already seen, things were very dark for David, and they were distressing for him. Yet, listen, he was not praising God because things were good. He was praising because God was good. Ooh, help me hear somebody preach, Reese. Listen, I'm about to shout myself silly. Listen, beloved, because here it is. He wasn't praising because things was good in his life. He was praising because God was good. And often we say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. That simply means that in the good times and the bad times, God is still good. Hear me and hear me good. He is good all the time. A-L-L. And I like the way my pastor, Dr. E.K. Bailey, used to say, there's nothing on the other side of all. God is good all the time. Some only praise God when they're on the mountaintop. However, we should praise God when we are in the valley low. We ought to not praise God only when things are good. We need to learn how to praise God when things are not so good. And I know it's easy to praise God when things are well. Listen, when family life is good, when I got a few dollars in my pocket, when my folk on my job genuinely like me, it's easy to praise God. We shouting from a rooftop about the goodness of God when I got a little something in my pocket. But where the rubber meets the road is when things are not so good in our life, when we are a few dollars short of paying our bills, when our children are acting up. And listen, if you don't believe that, just keep on living. They will act up every now and then. Help me hear somebody. Folk on our job is working on us like a Mississippi mule in Alabama mud. But the question is, can we still praise God? Well, David says you can. And David says you should. He says, my heart is steadfast, my heart is fixed, and I will sing and make melody to the Lord. My heart is fixed, my heart is fixed, and I will sing and make melody to the Lord. David says we should praise God, and we can praise God even though we're going through it. David says, I'm in a cave, but I'm still going to give him praise. I'm still going to lift up his name. No matter what is happening in my life, I'm in a cave, but I'm still going to praise him. I'm going through it, but God is still a good God. He says, no one's going to silence me. And then you need to know the reason why is because my praise is not conditional, but my praise is also, I'm done when I tell you this, is not confined. Watch what he says. I will give thanks. Verse 9. Watch this. Oh, Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. His praise was personal and public, but listen, his praise not only felt in his heart, but it also was seen and heard by others. Among the people, watch this, speaks of his praise among God's people. It's sort of like when we come to church and everybody in here Christian, is easy to shout, come on somebody, and it's easy to give God praise, because that's what we came to church to do, to give God some praise. But the psalmist says, not only will I praise God among the people, but I'm going to praise God among the nation. This among the nations speaks of his praise among those who did not know God. I'm going to lift up God's name no matter where I am. I'm going to lift up his name in the local Piggly Wiggly or the Safeway or the Raley's supermarket. I'm going to lift up his name at Bank of America. Come on, somebody help me. At Golden One Credit Credit Union, a Golden One Arena. I'm going to lift up his name no matter what, where I am, because my praise will not be confined. That's why some of y'all are at home right now, and you ought to be running around your living room, and the folk that ain't in service ought to think you crazy right now, because you know you ain't got to be in here in order to give God praise. Are you listening to me? He says, I'm going to praise God. Listen, among the people when I'm at church, but wherever I am, I'm still going to give God praise. He says, my praise is not going to be confined to the walls of my soul or in this cave in which I find myself in. I'm determined that I'm going to praise God to everyone and everywhere. And listen, beloved, you ought not let the things that happen in your life, listen, cause us to be a wet blanket to smother the fire out of our soul. We ought to not let the things that happen to us shake us or stop us or even silence us. Are you listening to me? We got to keep on trusting God. We got to keep on serving God. We got to keep on praising God. Even when the sea of life is raging, trust on. Even when we're going through it, serve on. Even when it's difficult, we got to learn how to praise on. When all hope seems to be gone, trust on, serve on, and praise on. Don't let anything shake you. Don't let anything stop you. And certainly don't let anything silence you. You got to learn how to keep on praising God. He says, my heart is steadfast and my heart is fixed. And I'm determined that whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm going through, I'm determined that I'm going to make it. How could David say that? Listen, here's what I believe. David began to understand that the cave was not his destiny, but his university. Is that all right to say? That this cave was not where the end of the road would be, but in that cave, he would learn lessons about himself and learn lessons about his God. He would learn lessons about who he was, but he would also learn lessons about who his God was. In that cave, he would learn that he was not able, but that he served an able God. He would learn in that cave that he was frail. Listen, but he would learn also in that cave that he served a God with all power in his hand. He would learn in that cave that he was limited, but he served a limited God. He would learn in that cave to fix his heart because he served a God who could fix his hardship. Are you listening to me? He learned that while he was alone in that cave, that he served a God who would never leave him nor forsake him, that even through a bad situation, he learned that he served the God who was his shepherd and he shall not want. He learned that although he didn't have much, he served Jehovah Jireh, that even though he had enemies, he learned in that cave that the Lord would fight his battle. And although he had adversities, he learned that God was still good, that even though he had problems, he learned to give God some praise. Are you listening to me? That even though there was pain, he learned how to exalt his name. Listen, beloved, that's why I don't mind lifting up the name of the Lord. Listen, beloved, because there's nobody like Jesus. Do I need to tell you? Listen, there is no battle that he cannot win. There is no burden that he cannot lift. There is no doubt that he cannot destroy. There is no heartache that he cannot heal. There is no, beloved, problem that he can't solve. There's no pressure that he can't relieve and no promise he cannot keep. He is the fairest of 10,000 and he is the bright and morning star. Are you listening to me? I like the way somebody put it when they said to the artist, he is the one altogether lovely. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the banker, he's the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the light. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. Listen, beloved, to the carpenter, he's the door. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To listen, beloved, he is the, to the educator, he's the great teacher. To the engineer, he's the new and living way. To the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, listen to the geologist, he's the rock of ages. To the judge, he is the righteous judge. To the jeweler, he is the pearl of great price. To the lawyer, he is the counselor. Listen, beloved, he's the counselor. To the newspaper, he is the good tiding of great joy. To the philanthropist, he is the unspeakable gift. To the philosopher, he's the wisdom of God. To the sculptor, he's the living stone. To the student, he's the incarnate truth. To the theologian, he is the author and finisher of our faith. To the one whose toil, he is the one who gives rest. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the earth. To you and I, beloved, he's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our Lord. He's the Son of the living God. And there's nothing that our God can do. Can I shout you real quick? Whatever it is in life, you need to recognize that it, whatever it is nothing too hard for God. I double dog dare you right where you are to give God some praise in spite of what you're going through, in spite of what you've been dealing with, in spite of being paused in this pandemic, in spite of being sheltered in place. Our God will make a way for us. We got to be determined that no matter what it is, locked up in a cave, locked up in our home, locked up in this pandemic, we are going to make it.